Today we're building a warehouse code style VHS rave stab stretch from scratch in Ableton Live 12, and then we're going to automate it so it feels like a living tension tool inside a drum and bass arrangement, not just a loop sitting there looking pretty. The vibe we're chasing is that foggy, tape-worn rave chord, something that feels like it came off an old warehouse recording or a battered VHS of a rave, but still lands with modern control in the mix. The key idea here is contrast. We want the stab to start simple and fairly plain, then become interesting through filtering, degradation, and automation. If it sounds finished right away, the stretch won't feel dramatic enough later. So let's start at the source. Create a MIDI track and load Waveeatable. You could use Operator or Simpler too, but Waveeatable is a fast, flexible choice for this kind of rave chord. Program a short minor key stab. D minor, F minor, or G minor all work well. Keep the voicing simple. Root, minor third, and fifth. If you want a little more tension, at a seventh or ninth. Keep the MIDI note short, around an eighth note or even less. We're making a stab, not a pad. The point is to create something punchy that can later be stretched by effects and automation. For the synth itself, start with saw waves or a saw and square combination. Detune them slightly. Use a little unison, maybe 2 to 4 voices, and keep the detune moderate. You want thickness, but not a giant trans super saw. Set the amp envelope fast. Quick attack, short decay, low sustain, short release. Again, the idea is a solid hit that has room to evolve. Now we'll dirty it up so it feels like a sample rather than a clean synth. Add auto filter first. Use a low pass filter, either 12 or 24 dB. Start the cutoff somewhere dark, maybe around 500 Hz to 2.5 kHz depending on how bright your patch is. Add a bit of resonance, enough to give the filter some character, but not so much that it whistles. If the device has drive available, a little of that can help the stab bite. Next, add saturator. Push the drive lightly, around +2 to +6 dB, and turn on soft clip if needed. This gives us that slightly strained warehouse edge. Trim the output so the level matches bypassed volume. Always check level, because louder can trick you into thinking it sounds better. Then add redux or erosion for texture. Keep it subtle. We're not trying to destroy the chord, just give it some grit and a degraded top end. If you want more VHS haze, add chorus ensemble with a slow rate and a low mix, maybe somewhere around 10 to 25%. This is where the stab starts to feel a little unstable, a little old, a little worn in a good way. If you want, stop for a second and listen. The sound should still have a clear pitch identity, but it should no longer feel pristine. That's the sweet spot. Now comes one of the most useful steps in this whole process. Resample it to audio. Route the synth track to a new audio track and record the stab. This matters because audio gives you much better control over warping, stretching, slicing, reversing, and automation. It also makes the result feel more like a discovered sample. Once it's recorded, consolidate the clip, and if needed, turn warp on. For this kind of material, Complex Pro is a good starting point if you want tonal smearing, and texture can be great if you want a grainier, more broken-up movement. If the clip sounds too perfect, crop it slightly off the grid or start it away from a clean zero crossing. Tiny imperfections like that help the sound feel like a found loop rather than a sterile synth hit. Now we build the actual stretch. This is the heart of the lesson. The warehouse code feel comes from making the stab seem like it's being pulled out of time. Think in phases. Dry hit, smeared hit, unstable tail, cutoff reset. That gives the listener a clear sense of motion, even if the MIDI stays repetitive. Duplicate the audio clip across 2 or 4 bars. Then automate auto filter cutoff so it opens over time. For example, start around 600 Hz and move up towards 6 to 10 kHz across the phrase. That opening motion is what makes the stab feel like it's waking up or unfolding. At the same time, automate reverb send from almost dry to a more obvious wash. Keep it controlled though. In drum and bass, constant huge reverb kills punch. Reverb is most effective when it's earned. Use it as a phrase event, not a permanent blanket. Add delay, too, but use it surgically. Increase feedback only on the last hit or the last moment of the phrase. A strong move is to keep the main hits dry and punchy, then throw a delay just on the ending to create that classic rave stretch tail. If you want the stretch to feel more physical, use automation curves rather than sharp jumps. Curves make the sound feel like tape being pulled, not a switch being flipped. That slow morph is a big part of the vibe. A practical phrasing idea is this. One bar dry and filtered, next bar opening up, then the third bar gets wetter and wider, and the fourth bar gets the big delay throw on the last hit only. That creates a strong four-bar motion that feels musical, not random. Now let's add some rhythmic movement. Insert gate either before or after the reverb depending on the effect you want. Before reverb, it tightens the stab. After reverb, it can create chopped pumping movement. Set the attack very fast and keep the release short to medium. Adjust the threshold until the stab opens cleanly. Add echo or delay if you want a more tempo-synced movement. Try dotted eighth or quarter note timing and keep the feedback sensible, around 15-35% for regular use. Filter the delay so it doesn't crowd the low end. If you go stereo, be careful not to smear the groove too much. DNB drums are busy enough already. If the stab needs a bit more bite, drum bus can help, especially for transient control. Add a little drive, and if the hit needs more front edge, raise transient slightly. Usually, keep boom minimal or off unless you've already high-passed the sound. The kick and sub need the bottom end to themselves. Now we'll add the VHS instability. Use auto pan to create subtle drift. Keep the rate slow, maybe sync to half notes or one bar, and keep the amount low. You're not trying to create obvious wobble, just a small sense that the sound is shifting in space. If you want a little cassette edge, frequency shifter can help, but use it very lightly. Tiny fine adjustments, low mix, just enough to make the pitch feel a little unstable. This is a great trick when you want the stab to feel less like a polished synth and more like a worn archival sample. You can also automate subtle increases in chorus mix or detune amount over 8 bars. That gives the impression that the sample is degrading as the tension rises. Very effective in intros and pre-drops. Now we make space for the drums and bass, because in drum and bass the low end is sacred. Put EQ8 at the end of the chain. High pass the stab somewhere around 120 to 250 Hz, depending on how much body it has. If it gets harsh, cut some of the 2.5 to 5k Hz region. If it's clouding the snare, notch the bite area a little. If it needs a bit of air, a gentle high shelf above 8k Hz can help, but only if the texture stays smooth. Also, check mono compatibility, especially if you've widened it with chorus or panning. The core energy should stay fairly centered. Use width for character, not for the main power of the sound. A really useful workflow here is to route your dry stab to one track and then send it to separate return tracks for short room reverb, tempo delay, and a bigger transition wash. That way you can automate the throws without permanently washing out the source. It's a cleaner, more mix-friendly approach. Now think like an arranger, not just a sound designer. The stab should have a job in the track. For example, in an intro it might appear filtered and distant. When the drums come in, it can answer the snare every 2 bars. In the build, the cutoff opens and the delay throws get more dramatic. Right before the drop, the stab can stretch hard, then either snap dry for impact or disappear so the drop has more room. That's an important teacher tip. Sometimes the most powerful move is to strip the stab out for a bar or two before bringing it back. Absence makes the return hit harder. For a darker roller, keep it sparse so it punctuates the groove. For neuro-influence DNB, use it as a contrast layer before a mechanical drop. For jungle, let it sit behind the break energy instead of fighting with it. Always leave breathing room for the break. A great automation plan is to target filter cutoff, reverb send, delay feedback, stereo width, saturation drive, clip gain, and the wet/dry amount of chorus or echo. You don't need to automate everything at once. Pick a few strong moves. For example, open the filter from 1kHz to 8kHz before the drop, raise delay feedback on the final phrase ending, increase reverb in the breakdown, then suddenly cut it before the drop lands. That sudden contrast is what makes the transition feel huge. One strong trick is to start the stab more mono and percussive, then make it wider and washier right before the drop. Then, when the drop lands, pull it back and so the kick, snare, and sub hit in a tight center. That contrast is massive. If you want to push this further, try a second version in octave up, heavily filtered and tucked quietly underneath. It adds a ghostly shimmer without muddying the mix. Or try a reverse tail version. Bounce the stab, reverse just the tail, and layer it under the main hit so it sounds like the phrase is inhaling before each attack. Another smart move is to print your automation passes and compare them. Sometimes the version that seems less impressive solo actually works better in the full track. Don't overjudge in isolation. Drum and bass is all about the relationship between elements. So here's the core takeaway. Build a short rave stab, degrade it into a VHS-like texture, and then use automation to stretch it into a tension device. Keep the low end clean. Let the phrase evolve in clear stages. Think in 4-bar and 8-bar movement, and make sure the stab supports the drums and bass instead of competing with them. If it feels like an old warehouse sample waking up inside a modern DNB tune, you're on the right track. For your practice, try making a 4-bar version of this today. Create the stab, resample it, add filter, saturation, degradation, and eck, then automate the cutoff across the 4 bars. Add 1 delay throw only on the last hit. Make a 2nd version that's wetter and wider. Then compare both against your drums and bass. Once you've done that, you'll have a tight version for the drop and a stretched version for the transition. That's a proper, usable D&B tool.